The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In Luke chapter 11, we find a story about a man who was emptied of devils, but didn't fill himself back up with anything else. We learn that ultimately he took unto himself more devils to fill the void, and the latter end of that man was worse than the first. In this sermon from our 2024 annual meeting, Elder Neil Honey preaches to us about filling ourselves up with godly things as we journey in our discipleship here on earth. After the song selection that we hope is edifying and uplifting to you, please stay tuned for this powerful message.
Poor, weak, and worthless though I am,
ask you to turn with me, if you would please, to Luke chapter 11. We'll begin reading the 14th verse. I'd studied a subject today that I felt like the Lord would lead me to speak about, and I couldn't quite feel peace about it, and I felt the Lord gave me this thought, which I had studied before. But when we sang this song, as I was praying, someone called out the song, "Fill Me Now." And as we sang that, I felt it settled in my heart that this is what I should bring to you tonight. I didn't know what Manuel would be speaking about, but this does, hopefully, if I can get the point across by the grace of God, I think dovetail a little bit with the subject that he had on his mind. Luke chapter 11, verse 14, "And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb." That doesn't mean the devil was stupid. What that means is that the person was possessed by the devil, and the devil made it so that they were not able to speak. "And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake." In other words, once the devil was released from this person, they were able to speak. and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, and others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. You know, some people are just never satisfied, are they? Come on now. You see someone do something like this, goodness, you want another sign? But anyway, I'd probably be me if I were there. Thankfully, we have this written down for us. I'm not sure how it would have been to experience it. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Now Beelzebub is another word for Satan. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. You know, there's a what I call companion passage to this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 12. In verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. There's a lot in that. A little rabbit trail there. Try to stay united in your family and in your marriage. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? But if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Did you notice a slight difference there? This is kind of elaborating. You know, the Scriptures agree. But there's some sense in which the Lord has inspired one author to give us a little bit of information, perhaps, and then another author gives us a little bit more information, and then we rightly divide the word of truth and compare passages of Scriptures. So we read in the other passage, Jesus said, If I by the finger of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. There's this kind of issue that we see in the Scriptures, in a sense, where we see the finger of God appear in certain passages in the Scripture. And I'll just kind of really briefly go through those, since I don't see that clock, but I know there's one somewhere ticking. But think about Exodus chapter 31 as Moses is coming down from the mountain. What does the Lord do? There are these two tablets, and the commandments were written by the finger of God. Okay. But unto whom do those commandments concern? To whom do they matter? To whom do they bear fruit once obeyed? Well, you could say in one sense, your life's going to be a lot better off if you just obey the Ten Commandments. But the person that's also felt the Spirit of God, okay, that's who they're really written to. You follow me? You think about it in Daniel chapter 5. And we won't turn there tonight, but it's fascinating to read this. You know, the wicked, probably the great-grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, takes out these vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem many years before that had been used in the service of God, and begins to drink wine from those in a big drunken feast, and the hand of a man appears. And the king sees part of the hand of the man that's writing on the wall there. You're familiar with this, I'm sure. And he sees what's written, but he has no idea what it means. It takes a man named Daniel, who has the Spirit of God inside, to be able to interpret what God says with what's written.
Amen.
And the same thing is true when we get to the New Testament. For instance, in John chapter 8, you know, they bring a woman who's committed adultery before the Lord. Okay, the Lord, as you know, stoops down, begins to write. We don't know exactly what he wrote, but he writes, and there's not a big change. And then the Lord says something. He says, "He that is without sin among you, first cast a stone at her." Then he stoops and writes again, but it says, "And when they heard that, from the eldest to the least, they all took off." Okay, because there is a sense in which the Lord, in showing his power, gives us commandments and gives us writings. And I would say the things that we have written down throughout all the scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. He inspired that to be written. And then we see times where the literal, as the Lord says, finger of God wrote things and gave us things and commandments and revelations. But it takes the Spirit of God, okay, for those to mean anything to us as people. That's when we get to the New Testament, we're given a deeper understanding about how that works, right? And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, ye are his epistle. In other words, we're the letter. Jesus didn't write us a letter himself per se. Now, the apostles wrote things down. They wrote down what he said. He gave it to us. It's inspired by him. But as far as the actual writing, what's written in our hearts? We are his epistle. Amen. Written not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. You say, what are you saying, Brother Neil? The way that works is for the written word of God to mean something to you. You have to have had a change on the inside by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And having had his law written here with the finger of God, which is the Spirit of God, for any revelation or commandment to really make sense and mean something to you.
Amen.
Okay? And if the Lord casts out devils by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you. But if you cast them out by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come unto you. And what does that mean to you? Brother Manuel was talking to us about kind of this sad shape we could get in if we, knowing the right things to do, if we get caught up in sin and we're just repetitively sinning and we don't repent, you know, I can't draw you a line in the sand and say sometimes with sin, okay, well what's too far gone and what's over here where you kind of still could lay some things back. I mean, that's just not for me to draw. That's just God's line. I don't know. But I don't want to get near it. Right? That's a line you don't want to edge up against where the Lord's like, I'm going to lay it on you, buddy. You know, that you don't want to do that. Stay away. Okay? And so part of what this passage of Scripture, I believe, is telling us is that the Spirit of God has come to us. Okay? The Spirit of God has cleansed us. The Spirit of God has given us new life. And the Lord is demonstrating his power here by coming to someone who's dumb, cannot speak because they're inhabited by this spirit that numbs their tongue or whatever else is going on. I'm not a speech therapist, but the devil had done something to this person and they were not able to speak. And the Lord comes and heals them, casts the demon out, and now they can speak. You know, something that's miraculous. And that's the kind of change that's worked on our hearts by the Spirit of God when the Spirit of God comes to us. Now, many of us, when we are born again by the Spirit of God, and then we begin, as Manuel said, to enter into discipleship, we learn what God expects of us, and we begin to try to clean up our lives for the grace and the glory of God, God with His Spirit also helps deliver us from things. You say, well, Brother Neil, did you ever have a demon inside you and the Lord had to deliver you? I don't know about that now, but I know I've done some wrong things and had some hang-ups and addictions and things that the Lord did deliver me from. Okay. And what does he say here in Luke chapter 11, if I can get back there, verse 24? Think a little bit this way. You've been born again by the Spirit of God if you have an interest in God. If you love God, if you have a desire for Him, if the thought of sin convicts you, and you feel grief over your sin, well, just thank God for that. Okay? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Oh, I know you're familiar with that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You wouldn't be concerned with the things of God if He hadn't given you His Spirit, if He hadn't written His laws in your heart for you to have a conscience. Romans chapter 2, conscience, their thoughts, and meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. In that we know as children of God, when we start to drift over into to some activity we ought not be doing, don't we feel a pang and a sense of don't go there and don't do that?
Right.
Listen to that.
Amen.
Okay, now sometimes that might be paranoia, but most of the time I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is God. Okay, we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We don't completely understand how the Trinity is one, but the Spirit of God is God just like God the Father is God and just like God the Son is God. The Spirit of God is sometimes, and maybe you've never had this trouble. I've had to sometimes readjust my thinking, and I have to remind myself that the Spirit of God is not just some sort of a messenger system from God. The Spirit of God is God. And so in that sense, since God knows past, present, future, eternity, outside my life, outside my time, the Lord knows what I'm susceptible to and what could get me in trouble 5 years from now. And if He convicts me against it today, I need to just drop it.
Amen.
Because it may not be a big deal today.
Amen.
But it might be a big deal down the road.
Amen. That's right,
part of what this passage is teaching is that when you've been delivered from something, whether that is an unclean spirit, whether that is an addiction you have, or anything like that, that is against God. Because the Lord says here, He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. And then He goes on and tells us what happens with this unclean spirit. There's a couple of points I would like to draw from this. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I'll return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. What's going on there? Somebody's been delivered of an unclean spirit here. Maybe you've been delivered from an addiction. Maybe it was something you had trouble with. It could be anger. It could be any of those unfruitful works of darkness that we read about over in Galatians. It could be any of those things. And the Lord delivers you. And you feel that sense of forgiveness and cleanness. And you feel swept out and you feel good because God is good. But you don't need to remain empty.
Amen. Amen.
You need to take whatever part of your life that was lacking that thing fulfilled for you, and you need to fill it up with something else.
Amen.
Fill it up with the goodness of God, the fellowship of the saints, the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 12, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some of what Brother McNeil was talking about. Why is that? That we would not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So sometimes what kind of fills up that inside that the Lord has cleaned and He has made it pure and He has swept it out and garnished it and it is good is, hey, fill it up with good stuff.
Amen.
My wife and I were talking today about someone we knew that got involved in a tragic situation of addiction, and you've known so many people like that over the years. You know, Lord help us.
Amen.
Just Lord help us.
Amen.
But you know, often, I can just assure you, and Lyman Neal said we could talk about it more later if you want to, if you don't understand. Often, not always, but often when somebody gets hooked on something, whether it be a substance, whether it be stuff they ought not be looking at on the internet, whether it be, alcohol or something like this, a lot of times they get exposed to that because they're already looking for something.
Right.
They're looking for something that will bring them up above the troubles of this life.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of young people here tonight, and I don't want to depress you about your future if you haven't figured this out yet. But life's kind of hard sometimes.
Amen,
you know, I was thinking life was hard yesterday, then I stepped on a nail today. You know, it's just something every day, right? I mean, and every now and then you get a break, and it's not so bad. But, you know, it's better to just accept the fact that we're sinners on a sin-cursed planet, and God's gracious, but there's a lot of bad things that happen. And when you need a lift, look to the right place.
Amen.
If you find some substance, pill, drink, whatever it might be, that lifts you up above the cares of this life, Amen. Drop that.
Amen.
Wherever it came from.
Right.
Even if it's a prescription.
Right.
Drop it. Amen. You know, talk to your doctor first and make sure you can wean off. But there are some things in life, I'm convinced, that will make you feel better in this flesh than we're really supposed to feel. Now there's a flip side to this, okay? There's a positive side to this. Bear with me on that. But the one point I want to make here is if you know, the Lord gives you His grace, you're saved, He cleanses your heart, He helps you get over some things. Maybe it's just bad associations. Maybe it's just bad behaviors. Sometimes aren't necessarily sinful, but the Lord cleanses you of that, and you feel clean, okay? Don't think, okay, that, you know, Satan will ignore a vacuum like that.
Right.
If you're not careful.
Right. Amen.
Okay. So it happens sometimes. People come to church. They're convicted by the grace of God. They've been saved by His Spirit. They repent. They don't continue in the Word. They don't fill up that past life with good things, with the fellowship of the saints, with the Word of God, with time with their family, with the simple things of life, the beautiful things. And then the next thing you know, they go back outside the church, life gets hard again, and they're like, oh man, it's so hard, what do I do? Don't, you know, avoid that temptation. Be very careful about that. Because sometimes, verse 26, the last state is worse than the first. But the second point I wanted to make about this was this understanding that Satan has a counterfeit for everything that God has that's good.
Amen.
In other words, the very fact that all of you would have a burden or desire to come to church on a Friday night tells me that you've experienced the finger of God. You've experienced the Spirit of God. Okay? Because otherwise, we'd probably all be out looking for some other kind of spirit. So you've experienced that. And so I hope you've experienced something good in that, in the sense that there's no guilt in that. You know, you could come to church and sing and just enjoy being here and feel the presence of God, and you leave feeling better than when you came, I hope. You might be tireder, you know, after two preachers, but you hopefully feel good. You know, you feel at rest, you feel at peace. I hope you do. Sometimes when I haven't, I know it wasn't the Lord's fault. I'm not speaking for you now. I'm talking about myself. It was my fault, you know, because I didn't come with the right mind. But see, Satan has a counterfeit. So the Lord says, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not moving in my direction, we're at opposition. If you're not gathering with me, you're scattering.
Right.
Okay?
That's right.
So the Lord's got a right way that life's supposed to work. And if you've felt the Spirit of God to make the writings of God mean something, then for you, okay, you're not going to enjoy the counterfeit.
Yeah, right.
And you're not going to enjoy the chastening of God if you pursue that. Let me be real clear about what I mean. We won't go to all the scriptures tonight. But think about Paul's exhortation in Ephesians. He says, be not drunk with wine wherein there is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Right? We sang that tonight. Now think about this now. I want y'all to think about it. And I hope that this is a little pat on the back, in a sense. Okay? I think you all chose to do that tonight. Okay? And I'm not saying if somebody's not here that they made the wrong choice per se. I know it's a Friday night. That's not our usual night to go to church. Okay? But for children of God, okay, when life is difficult, life is hard, we are low, we are beat down, the thing to do is to encounter the Spirit of God.
Right.
And where will that be? Well, when we gather together, He's promised to be there, right? So I know the Lord is all places. I was talking about Brother Kevin before church. I said, I wish I could be at every meeting. He said, well, you're not like the Lord. You can only be at one place at a time. He can be everywhere, right? You know, the Spirit of God is everywhere present in that sense. I understand that. But in a manifest sense, to minister to His people, He comes when His people come to worship. So if I'm feeling really low and crushed and terrible and life is hard, and yes, I'm sorry, sometimes it is. The Spirit that God gave to lift me up is His Spirit. And, you know, I know I've said this before. I'm sure I've said it at our home church, so some of them are here. They probably get tired of hearing it. Now, this is not a message against alcohol as a substance per se, but it is meant to be very cautionary. When you drive by the ABC store and it says wine and spirits, okay, there's a reason it says spirits, okay? Because your state is selling you something at a discount that kind of lifts you up a bit. You need to be real careful about that, like I said. What for the child of God, what is the spirit that lifts us up above the troubles of life and lets us see something past this life, and lets us see our Savior high and lifted up, upholding all things with the word of His power? It's the Spirit of God, and there's nothing like that. You can't buy that. You can't manufacture that. I've said that before. If we had to write a check somehow to get the Spirit of God sent to us, are you kidding us, humble little people? The billionaires of the world couldn't afford it. Who could make God command? That song says it very succinctly, 351, Fill Me Now. It's a sense of, I just bow at your feet, and I know I can't command you. The Spirit is like the wind. It blows where it listeth, where it wants to go, but I can sure ask.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, Lord, fill me now. Mate, lift me up above the cares of this life for a while. I know I'll have to go back out and face them for a few more years or days or years at most. But that's the Spirit of God. A few other counterfeits. I think that there's a simplicity in the Word of God that's nourishing, it's sustaining. And by I mean the written Word, as a child of God, reading it, meditating on it. I don't do this like I should because I'm a sinner, and also because I get really busy sometimes, and you probably do too. But to take time as Jesus Himself did. and in your sense, go to the Mount of Olives and communicate with God and pray in the garden and be refreshed for another day. You know, but sometimes I know that that's there, and I know that it's for me as a child of God. But sometimes it just seems easier to pick up my computer and just scroll through the news. And does that lift me up above the troubles of this life? Not much. No. Take time in the Word of God. You know, most of the good essential things that the Lord has given us, Satan, as I said, has this counterfeit for. I was trying to communicate this to one of my sons one day, and I'm going to try to say this very discreetly tonight, but I feel led to say it. What is Satan's counterfeit for the blessing of the covenant of marriage? Well, you don't have to look far to find that, do you? And pornography, the things that we see in a lot of Hollywood productions that are put out. This idea that, well, it's just some ink stains dried up on some line. Well, if that's all it is, sign it. You know, I mean, do it God's way.
Amen.
God's got a beautiful, you know, solution for the needs that human beings have. Okay? And for that male and female solution, it's called marriage.
Right.
And anything outside that, for a child of God that's experienced the grace of God, that knows better, if they indulge in something other than that, they're going to be disappointed.
Amen.
They're going to feel conviction. Why? Because it's against. It's not gathering, it's scattering. Okay? I wish that I could communicate to you tonight what a privilege we have to know God in the vital sense, to have His Spirit in our hearts. I sometimes think I take that for granted. That of all of the billions of people on this planet, God will come to me. And that the kingdom of God would come unto me. And upon me. And upon you. Hey. So seek those things of the Spirit. And you've experienced the Spirit, capital S, God. Amen. And He's relieved you of burdens. He's delivered you from addictions. He's helped you to remove things from your life that are not pleasing to Him, that are not gathering, that are scattering, that are in opposition to Him. And you're wide open. Fill me now. Fill me now. Find a meeting. You found one tonight. I think we're here tomorrow. Fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship with the saints. Fill your mind with the good things. The Word of God. You have those, you know, desires for a spouse. Ask the Lord. I don't know what His will is for you. But I know it won't hurt to ask. Ask Him and trust. When you get low and life is hard, which it will be, I'm just telling you. Listen, the Spirit that will lift you above that is the same Spirit that will lift you home someday by the grace of God. And it is God. Okay. Let's look to Him. And I appreciate your time so much.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.